You're listening to the Transform Your Nutrition Podcast with your hosts, Rebecca Heald and Jeff Ash. Our purpose is to help individuals and families transform their relationships with food and develop healthy bodies, minds, and attitudes, all without restriction, guilt, or shame. All right. Well, welcome back for another episode of the Transform Your Nutrition Podcast. How are you today?
I'm okay, and I'm now in my fourth decade.
Oh, yes. Congratulations. Welcome to
Thank
the club.
You. I was thinking, I don't think we've spoken since I turned 40. So,
no. Yeah, I will be, I'll be in the five-decade club here in October, so I'm looking forward to that.
You don't look a day over 49.
No, well, that's good. Yeah. Some days I feel a number of days over 49, but actually most days I actually still feel like I'm in my 20s. So that's good.
Same here. Yeah. I was saying to the client, oh, now it's time to grow up.
Yeah, exactly. No, can't make me do it. I refuse.
Can't, won't.
Yeah. Well, we had an interesting topic that we decided to discuss today, and it was inspired by a particular post by a registered dietitian who's a certified eating disorder dietitian by the name of Marcy Evans. And so I'll put a link to her social media stuff, and hopefully maybe someday we'll get her on the podcast here, because she's got a wealth of knowledge in the area that Rebecca and I talk about a lot, this non-diet stuff. But she wrote this really cool short post, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes also. And it was titled COVID Weight Gain and What It Really Means. And basically, it's a post talking about a lot of the fear-mongering that's been going on in the headlines, a lot of the frustrations that people are posting kind of coming out of, as we're starting to come out of this pandemic, as people are getting vaccinated and things are opening up. And understandably so, a lot of people have found that they've put on some extra weight during this time. And it's seen in most cases as a negative. So, you know, everybody's sort of talking about it like it's like everybody's experiencing it. It's common. But at the same time, most of those conversations are focused on the negative aspects of it. Oh, I need to get the COVID-15 off, or whatever it is that the terminology that's going around. And usually it's somewhat lighthearted for most people. But I think deep down, there's a lot more angst and uncomfortableness with the way that people are feeling about that. Have you seen that yourself?
Yeah. And I think whilst you say people, and I was just speaking to a potential new client about this morning as well, because whilst it's people are going, oh, I've got a sense of humor about it, and oh, you know, I'll just poke fun of myself. You know, I've delved into this with a few of my clients, and that's their way of kind of masking over how they are really feeling about things, mm-hmm. because they are feeling the pressure, they are feeling judged. And they'd rather poke fun at what's going on rather than, you know, they'd rather do that before anybody else gets a chance to, mm-hmm. because they're, you know, because of the society that we're living in fundamentally, and because of this, you know, this thin ideal that makes us feel ashamed that we have gained weight. But I think as we're going to go into, should not be the case whatsoever. People seem to be skirting around the surface, and because they haven't seen people for so long, they're going, oh, I need to use the dreaded COVID-15, or why aren't my clothes fitting me? I don't want to go out for that drink with my friends. But like we're going to delve into today, you know, there's very real reasons for why that's happening, and we need to dig into that.
Yeah. And they aren't necessarily negative. And I think that's what we're talking about here, is acknowledging that, yes, it has happened, and you don't have to be happy with it. We're not saying you should feel happy with where your body is coming out of this or any of these changes. We shouldn't deny our feelings necessarily. If the feelings are there, it's legitimate to acknowledge them. But I think that sometimes it's just a matter of perspective and understanding, and just shifting the way that we're thinking about it, so that it's not so negative, and that we're looking at positive aspects and kind of the positives going forward from here, and what can be done, and those kinds of things. One of the statements that she makes in this post is, when we encapsulate and communicate our experience in pounds lost or gained, we lose the depth and complexity of what those weight changes are actually about. I really like that.
I love it. Go on, sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, we just often, that's kind of how we think of things in our experiences is in terms of weight gain or weight loss.
Yeah. And I was just saying to you just before we started about how I've just had a session just this morning with a client who, you know, she's doing so well in terms of her, you know, behavior change. And this has resulted in her losing quite a lot of weight. And, you know, she was really excited about this last week. And she was talking about how, you know, she was proud that she'd lost this weight. And then she went into kind of self-sabotage mode almost immediately afterwards. And I spoke to her about how this is still, although we've been working together for a long time and she's a different person, which is just incredible to see. She was just saying this morning about how she can't believe how much energy she's got to play football in the garden with her 2-year-old son, which she never thought would happen this time last year. Yeah. But anyway, I said to her about how kind of this self-sabotage that came in would have been because of the deep-rooted diet mentality and the focus on the weight. But I said to her, just remember, I said, you know, it is great that you've lost that weight, but that weight isn't anything, that's not a behavior. That's not, you know, it's everything that's took you there. You know, it's all of this more, it's this mindfulness. It's this, you know, it's the exercise that you're doing. It's being more mindful when you're eating. It's the meditation you're doing. It's the reading. It's the development that you've made as a person and the changes that you've made that have resulted in that. And if you can just remember that, you know, then this kind of, you're going to slowly eradicate that kind of diet mentality that fixates on that number and then can lead you into this kind of, you know, self-sabotage and feelings of guilt, etc.
Yeah, it's really just that perspective on how you're thinking about these changes and how you're the mindset that you have behind them and how you're looking at things when things don't go exactly as planned, when something comes up in life that throws a wrench in the works and you have to navigate that and maybe something changes. Maybe there's a change in your health, your body size, your shape, whatever it is as a result of these other things. And it's kind of a matter of being kind to yourself, understanding, and just like you would with a friend or a family member who was struggling with it, you wouldn't beat them up over, oh, at least you shouldn't. I think there are people who are actually doing this based on some comments I've heard from other people. You know, have partners that are not particularly understanding or and it may be.
Where do you think that stems from?
That's such a tough one because it does vary from person to person. I think for some people, it's a matter of insecurity in themselves. Yeah. I know with my late wife, I think a lot of the abusive language that came out of her and her judgmentalness toward other people, which was a very strong characteristic of hers, came from a severe insecurity within herself. It was, you know, somehow she had to put down other people in order to feel somewhat okay about herself. And I think that for some people, that's the case. Other people, I think they're just jerks and they're just they're just stuck on themselves, narcissists. And they think that, you know, I expect this of you and you should meet my standards. I think that some people are that way.
There's a couple of points. It's so funny because I was reading a chapter in The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. It's a really good I was just reading about this last night and it was talking about how, you know, we can kind of portray our thoughts and beliefs and things onto other people. I mean, it was in this book in particular, it was talking about a man who wasn't happy with the choice that his sister had made in partners. So he was giving her a hard time saying she was ruining her life and wasting her life rather than just letting her make her own decisions and finding her own way. Because it was talking about how when you let someone make their own decisions and find their own way, that's when relationships and connections and all of that are built. Whereas when you're trying to coerce and push someone into another way because of what you're thinking or feeling or what you believe that they should be doing, then it is exactly that. It's narcissistic and it can break down relationships. And, you know, and I've seen this with clients where they've, you know, people have tried to coerce them into losing weight or to eating in a certain way or vice versa into gaining weight. And it has the negative effect. But I think you're right. There are people that are just, you know, jerks with narcissistic traits. But I think when it comes to weight and things like that, I think also as well, it comes from the society that we live in and this culturally thin ideal and the fact that so many people just accept that we should all look a certain way. Mm-hmm. Whereas instead of thinking, right, society says that this person needs to look a certain way. So I'm going to push that on them rather than questioning society, you know, and thinking, actually, let's just find our own way here.
Yeah, exactly. And there's so much of that that goes on in this process. And I think even with parents too, we project that on our kids. And it comes from a well-meaning place. As parents, we don't want our kids to struggle with maybe the things that if we struggled with our weight, the bullying that or stigmatization that had happened when we were growing up, and we're trying to protect them from that, just like parents wanting to provide more for their kids than they had growing up, and those sort of well-meaning ideas, but sometimes get carried too far, and then we start interfering in that process. We start to do exactly the opposite of what we're trying to accomplish there, and so I think there's a number of different ways that those things come into play.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, sorry, it was a bit of a very broad question, I think. But
it's a great question. I think it's important to answer that, especially with ourselves. You know, why is it that we're making these comments toward ourselves? Why is it that we're making these comments toward other people? You know, whether if you're a spouse and you make comments to your partner and they're not even negative comments, maybe you're just saying, hey, let's see if we can get that extra weight off. And you don't think of it in that way. You're not doing it to put them down. You're thinking, hey, I'm trying to help them. I'm trying to motivate them. And often it has the exact opposite effect because we're drawing attention to something from a negative perspective instead of a positive perspective.
Yeah. And likewise as well, it's important if someone has things that they want to work on or, mm-hmm. you know, they're trying to change their behavior or their relationship with food, it's about supporting that, isn't it? But when it's coming from that person and it's not coming from something that you're expecting from that person.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing that kind of highlights what we were just talking about is another statement from this particular article that really stood out to me. And I shared this in another group and somebody else highlighted the same one. It really did stand out. It says, because our culture almost always frames weight gain as a bad thing. It's important to appreciate all of the amazing and vital ways our bodies fight to protect us. And yes, that includes weight gain during times of intense stress. And so I thought that was another really important point from this is that, it's so true. Our society and our culture, weight gain, unless it's because you've built muscle, weight gain is almost without exception viewed as a negative thing. And that's unfortunate because it's a protective mechanism in our body. It's something that it's a cycle that our body goes through at different times, whether it's when we, you know, when women have a give birth, you know, that weight gain is normal. But it's always seen as this negative, like, I got to get this off as quick as I can kind of a thing. And those kinds of things. Or, you know, going through this pandemic, the fact that we even have these statements like COVID-15 or in the context of kids going off to college, that freshman 15, which is often mentioned. And, you know, as if this is a bad thing that you've put on 10 or 15 pounds over where you were as a 17-year-old kid.
That's a really important point to make, actually, mm-hmm. because now this is a bit personal, but that's exactly why my issue with food started. That's where that was the root of my eating disorder, was that what you call the freshman 15. Mm-hmm. It was when I went to university and I gained a few pounds and a few people, my mother included, made comment on how I'd gained some weight. And so that triggered me to want to lose weight. And then that ended in, you know, I've been honest about that, you know, that spiraled out of control. And, you know, and then I struggled with, you know, with an eating disorder for many, many years. So, and that's nobody's fault at all. But I think it does just highlight exactly how, you know, how toxic, I suppose, diet culture can be, and this expectation or this belief, like you say, that weight gain is something that is bad in society and is something that we should always be ashamed of. And like you said, it's just not. And, you know, gaining weight is sometimes, you know, evolutionary advantageous to us, mm-hmm. because it's when we are, and you've got to think as well that when, you know, it's evolutionary for us when we got stressed or when we didn't know what was coming up. And usually what tended to happen is when we were overly stressed, you know, as cavemen, let's say, this usually meant that food was going to be scarce. So we needed to keep some fat stores. We needed to have weight in order to survive and get through what was probably going to be, you know, a starvation period. So this is, you know, this is what happens when we go through periods of stress. Now our bodies want to keep us safe. Our body wants to stop us from, you know, potentially dying. You know, right. when you strip it back, when it, you know, it really is that primitive, isn't it, Jeff? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is, and it's good that that stuff happens. It's good that our body has this amazing capability of taking in when we have extra energy available. It's able to take that in and store it for later in case we need it later. Yeah. And we always see that kind of as a negative, and that's unfortunate because it's how our bodies are beautifully made, and to look at it from that perspective, perspective that it's a negative is a problem.
And it's about, you know, we're talking about stress in very general terms, but, you know, it's like what you mentioned before. It's about actually kind of digging deep, isn't it? And thinking about what's going on behind those, the stress, what is causing the stress that has led to that weight gain? You know, because people have lost jobs, people have lost lives, people have lost loved ones. Mm-hmm. You know, people are still working in conditions where they're at risk. And they may have underlying conditions themselves, which mean, you know, so the stress is still there. You know, this is what's underlying it all. Yet we're skirting around on the surface, worrying because, you know, we can't squeeze into our jeans.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, and there's a lot of things that happened through that, through this process of like the pandemic in particular. We had many of us went from maybe going to the gym 3 to 5 days a week. And we were eating in a certain way, which was relatively healthy. You know, just we had that managed. We were maybe maintaining our weight very well. And then changes happened to where now we couldn't go to the gym anymore. And so now the energy expenditure from day to day may have decreased some because we hadn't made that shift overnight. We can't make these shifts overnight. But literally this pandemic changed things. One day people were, you know, going to parties and going to the gym and doing this and that. And the next day it was like, nope, it's all cut off. And so making that transition did not happen instantly for most people. And so now we're going from lower energy expenditure, eating the same way, relatively healthy. And now we're seeing your weight creep up naturally. I mean, that's what's going to happen when you have that energy balance shift. And then
at one point, we weren't even allowed to leave the house, apart from, we were allowed to leave the house for one, you know, to exercise once a day. And, you know, just try and kind of just, whilst we were all coping, you know, well, you know, most of us were coping. Most of us, you know, on the surface seem to have been getting through. Mm-hmm. But just imagine what's going on underneath the surface subconsciously when all of a sudden all your freedom has been taken away.
Yeah.
You're not even allowed to, you know, you've been told that we need to stay fit and be active and regularly exercise. And then all of a sudden you're only allowed to go for a walk once a day and it's only allowed to be so far and it's only allowed to be for so long. And you're not allowed to go with anybody else. And, you know, and it's like, whoa, hold on a minute here. It's like, just imagine what's going on and how much we were processing without even really realizing, you know, because we were just getting by day to day. We were just surviving.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you think about everyone who already had an issue. Different people have differing levels of issues with emotional eating as one example. And now maybe they had worked to a place where they had that pretty well managed and they were able to navigate that for the most part. And you know, in concert with their exercise and their physical activity, they had built this nice way of navigating life, basically navigating culture. And then suddenly, again, that energy expenditure, the exercise, the physical activity was taken away. But now the increased emotional impact and the isolation that pushed a lot of people through kind of over back into that emotional eating to a degree, at least, and making that even more challenging. And so it's completely understandable that you would see some kind of a weight increase in a lot of people. And
let's not also forget the other end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. People that were either, you know, triggered or were already suffering with an eating disorder.
Exactly.
To suddenly be told that there are certain foods that aren't available. You can only go to the shop for, you know, mm-hmm. and all of that stuff, you know, all of that you know, that impact that that has had on people and their mental health as well. And people that have, you know, have probably lost a significant amount of weight because their eating disorder has been triggered or has not been dealt with because they haven't been able to get the support that they need as well throughout all of this. And yeah. then, like you say, you know, you're also being told what you can eat, you know, almost. I mean, obviously, you know, things that have changed now, we've got a lot more freedom and flexibility with that. But at one point, we couldn't go to the shops, we couldn't get a home delivery, we were having to eat whatever we could lay our hands on, you know, or rely on people to create parcels and things for us, food parcels and stuff like that. For somebody with an eating disorder, that would have been really difficult to navigate. Really.
Yeah. Yeah. Because those are some of those key characteristics of eating disorders and disordered eating. And a lot of people are navigating life hanging on by a thread. And I think both of us can attest to the fact, you know, we've had conversations at different times based on what's going on in life, whether it's relationship issues or whether it's health issues or kid issues, whatever it is, job situations, all those different things that come up in life. And we're, you know, literally at times we're hanging on by a thread. And then now you have this massive shift in how things are working in society, whether it's what you can buy at the store, how often you can go out, you know, all those different things, job losses, changes in jobs, you know, now you're suddenly working at home and trying to educate your kids at school at the same time. And it used to be you dropped them off at school, went to your office, you know, that kind of thing. So all of these shifts, it's the fact that somebody only put on 15 pounds over the last year, to me, is like a huge win. And in fact, I had a client recently who that was why they came to me, was that they had put on this weight and they were uncomfortable with it. And they were just wanting some help getting that off. And you know, a lot of it has been working through, you know what, you did a fantastic job of only, you know, 15 pounds. That's fantastic. And, you know, that's coming from me. So I'm not trying to invalidate somebody's feelings, but kind of shifting that perspective and saying, you know, you did a fantastic job. Or another, you know, another client actually managed to maintain over that entire year. And I just was like, that is just fantastic that you had reached a point where you were able to navigate this really difficult situation and actually maintain. And so they're like, yeah, you know, when I start to think about it, that really is a different way, a different perspective in looking at it.
Yes, about thinking about all of the changes that have been made and how, again, I was having that conversation with my client this morning about her resilience, and how much she's you know, how easier it is now for her to bounce back. And because life will change, life always is going to change. And if this year has taught us anything, it's that. Which is, again, why, you know, and this is the other thing about weight, you know. Our weight is not supposed to stay the same all the time, you know. Stressful occasions happen, celebrations happen, you know. And so our weight is supposed to naturally fluctuate. Why we think we've got to, I mean, you know, with a healthy, people with a healthy relationship with food in their bodies, they will probably always fluctuate within a range.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's just so even when you have got a healthy relationship, your weight will fluctuate. My weight fluctuates within quite a large range. You know, I would say it probably fluctuates within a 7 to 8 kilo range, depending on what's going on. But you know, I know this, and and it's about just accepting that and thinking. The thing is, and like you said before, it's not about invalidating somebody's feelings. Okay, because we all have those days where we feel fed up and we feel like, you know, oh, how have I let this happen? I'm feeling fat. My clothes aren't fitting.
Yeah.
We all have those days, you know. I'm definitely, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say I don't. Of course I do. But the thing is, it's about being able to look at the bigger picture. It's being able to take that step back. And it's being able to think, okay, this has happened, but that doesn't mean I'm going to suddenly go on yet another fad diet, start restricting, start over-exercising again, just to try and shift this weight that then I'm probably going to put on it back again if I don't actually think about my relationship with food and think about making changes in that way. It's about not letting those feelings, I guess my point here is about not letting those feelings drive your immediate actions, okay?
Yeah.
Rather than thinking, right, I put a bit of weight on this morning, I'm going to skip breakfast, or I'm going to cut out carbs, I'm going to stop drinking alcohol. Think about everywhere that's got you in the past. Might give you a short-term fix, but but it's not going to do, you know, it's not going to give you all of the answers that you're looking for. Instead, it's about reframing those thoughts and thinking, okay, what can I do now to make me feel good, to make me feel healthy, to make me feel energized? Skipping a meal isn't going to do that. Cutting out food you enjoy isn't going to do that. But finding a balance, yes, it is. Getting out in the fresh air, doing some exercise, you know, preparing yourself three home cooked meals a day, making sure you're getting plenty of vegetables, all of those things, yes, absolutely. But not trying to force yourself now into something because of basically the fact that you managed to survive a pandemic.
Yeah, no, those are great points. And that kind of, that reminded me of one of the sections in this article where she gives a kind of an example of different ways of framing the way that we think of that. And, you know, one, she said, you know, we can move from this, ugh, my jeans don't fit. Yeah. I'm so gross. I need to stop eating. And then, you know, kind of fill in the blank with whatever food or thing that is, and change that to something more like, it really makes sense that I've gained some weight this past year. I've never had to manage this much stress and uncertainty in my life. And I'm trying to renegotiate how to take care of myself. It's been really hard. So it's not that you're invalidating that you're saying, oh, well, I shouldn't feel this way, but it's shifting what it is that you're saying to yourself about the fact that you don't fit in your jeans like you wanted to.
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that. And I know we do a lot of work with our clients. I mean, I was in the chat from my group yesterday. Mm-hmm. I had the conversation with two of them yesterday about this, because one of them was saying, you know, I'm not feeling comfortable and the sun's coming out and all this kind of stuff. And it was like, and she did reframe it. She was like, I know that I don't want to live my life like I have for the last 30 years, and I'm going to get my hair cut today. That's going to make me feel good. But then another lady, she said that, I can't remember exactly what she said in the group, but she'd gone out for a meal with her husband and some photos had been taken and she didn't like the photos. They made her feel really, she was like, I just, you know, I looked awful. And for a minute, I almost let it ruin this special time that I was having with my husband. Mm-hmm. She said, and I just reframed it. I just, you know, it was a bad angle. The photo was a bad angle. I was there, I was enjoying some food and, you know, beating myself. And she said she focused on the things that she did like about herself, mm-hmm, and reframed it that way rather than, the point here again is, it's not that you're never going to experience. And this is what I'm trying to, you know, this is what we're working on in my group. And, you know, no one's going to be able to change the way that you feel. You're not going to be able to change the way that you feel, but you can absolutely, definitely change the way that you respond to those feelings.
Right. And when you do that, when you do change how you respond to the feelings, it often helps those feelings to shift over time. Doesn't happen instantly. But
exactly that.
And it happens with when we think of them ourselves, but it also happens in other areas. It can happen in how we feel about food, how we feel about exercise, how we feel about our spouse. I mean, it's some of the things that people go through when they're going through marriage counseling and those kinds of things is shifting those thoughts. It's like you feel like you've fallen out of love today, but you can get that back, you know, instead of just saying, okay, well, we've fallen out of love and we're done. You can put certain things and change the way you're thinking and put different actions in place that can help shift the way that to bring it back to where it was when you were, you know, back originally in that relationship early on. And those are the kinds of things like you're basically, you've reignited those feelings.
No, it's true. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm following on LinkedIn actually that work on this with couples and mm-hmm. Because the thing is, you can't change the triggers. You can't change, you know, those triggers. Oh, you know, the spark. Yeah. You're always going to have triggers. Mm-hmm. And some of those triggers might be deep rooted. Like for a lot of my clients, some of their triggers are rooted, you know, to what's gone on in childhood, what's mm-hmm. gone on at school, and things like that. And you can't change them.
Right.
And like I had this conversation with one of my clients last week, who did identify. She lost her dad. I mean, she's someone that's been struggling with her eating since she was 8 years old. And she said, mm-hmm. I realized, you know, what one of my triggers. You know, and for so long she was like, she'd be like, I don't know what's going on. I can't control what's going on. I just don't understand it. And then all of a sudden she had this light bulb moment. She recognized one of her triggers and it was to do with her dad dying. And I said, look, I said, you know, it's fantastic. I'm so pleased you've identified that trigger because this is what we've been trying to do. I said, but this isn't the place to then start digging that up and trying to, because she said, I don't feel that I need to. It was something that was happened, but it's just interesting how now I can see how that's affected my behaviours. So, you know, we can't change those triggers very often. We can't stop them from coming up. We can't stop those feelings from arising, right, because of something that's happened or been experienced years and years and years ago. But what we can do, like I said, is change our behaviour that then leads to the reward, which then enhances. Because you need to identify the trigger. And then it's, you know, you need to then, there's a really great tip actually that I think it was Mel Robbins was talking about. And she talks about doing that. She says, have a 5 second pause. So when you identify the trigger, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, change the behavior. Yeah. And then it will change the reward. Because what happens is we have a trigger, a behavior and a reward. And with emotional eating, it tends to be there's a trigger there, there's a behavior where you eat, and then there's this reward, but then it backfires.
Right.
Yeah. So it's about thinking, okay, how am I going to change that? And so that the reward is actually, you know, something that's more supportive and beneficial to where you want to go, rather than it being something that then, you know, because very often, you know, those coping mechanisms are there to help get us through, but they don't, they're very primitive sometimes, aren't they?
Yeah, it's that.
When we can take control of the thoughts and the behaviors, we're back in charge.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes so much sense. And that's probably a good place to kind of wrap up our talk for today. And hopefully those of you who have been listening have found this helpful. And hopefully you'll find some inspiration here to show yourself and others around you that are maybe struggling with this a bit more kindness, compassion, understanding, and maybe a shift in perspective and mindset if necessary. We'll make sure to include a link to this post. There's some a few bullet points in it that you might find helpful also, that just kind of again emphasize this and sort of bring this new perspective on this whole idea of weight gain during COVID being such a negative thing. And we can really apply this and broaden it to anything, not just the COVID situation. It could be if you're going through a divorce, or if you're going through a job change, if you're going through a mental health crisis, you know, for whatever reason that may be, financial situation, all of these different things. It really helps to navigate those things, whether it's food related or not, if we shift that perspective and really start to look at it from a different angle than what society and culture tells us. Because our society and our culture is one of the absolute worst places to get advice and to set our standards for ourselves and for other people. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I love what you've said there and about how it applies to other areas of life, mm-hmm. because I have to tell you something that, you know, the work that I've done on myself, the work that I do with my clients, has massively helped me in terms of navigating my own divorce, mm-hmm. and in terms of recognizing those triggers and responding to, you know, all of that, you know, so it literally does translate into, you know, into such other areas. So, and I always say this to clients, when you do this work, you will find that other areas of your life become so much easier because you become so much more aware of yourself.
Yeah. It's amazing how helping other people and counseling other people, it's often very therapeutic for us as well. I think both of us have learned tremendous amounts just from conversations we've had from our clients. And
because of the approach we take.
Yeah.
You know, because we are not the, you know, whilst we've got a, you know, wealth of experience and knowledge, we are not ever the expert on our client. They are.
Exactly. That's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if we ever went in with a fixed mindset with clients, like you've got to do it this way, or you've got to do it that way, or you've got to count this amount of calories, or you've got to stick to your plan, we wouldn't be learning as practitioners, would we?
No, not at all. So, all right, well, we will wrap up today with this discussion. And thanks again for listening, everyone. We hope you all have a wonderful day and look forward to another exciting conversation here shortly.